Good. It's the beginning of the school holidays, isn't it? And we've got a number of families that have gone off on their holidays, and we just pray the Lord's blessing on them, because this has been a tough year, hasn't it? A lot of people are struggling with exhaustion from different reasons. And we just pray the Lord's blessing as you go on your holiday, whatever you end up doing. This morning, I want to share a word with you about the last days. How many knows that we live in the last days? Yes. The scripture teaches us very clearly that we live in the last days. Now, there's many teachings on the last day, but I'm just going to focus specifically on one aspect of the last days. Because in the Old Testament, it was clearly prophesied that there would be three outpourings of the Spirit of God in the days ahead, in the last days. Two of these have been fulfilled, and the third one is coming. It's just breaking out. Praise God. It's so exciting. Now, what are the last days? I hear some people say, what are the last days? So let's just think about the way that the Jewish tradition of looking at the timetable since Adam and Eve. So you know that the scripture teaches that one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like one day. So the Jews traditionally looked at the six working days that God gave Adam, and they split it up, and they said there's like 2 days of chaos, then there's 2 days of the law, and then there's 2 days of the Messiah, and then on the seventh day would be rest. So since one day is 1,000 years, that gives you 6,000 years, with 1,000 years to come, which is the millennium that the Bible teaches us, which is a year of peace where the Lord will reign from Jerusalem, and there will be peace, total peace on earth during the millennium. Now, the Jews correctly said that the Messiah would come after 4 days, meaning after 4,000 years. So that's how they're saying the last 2,000 years are the days of Messiah. And that is really the last days, because if you think about the church age, if you think about the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he said, this, what you've just witnessed, is the fulfillment of what was prophesied in Joel chapter 2. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. You see? So Peter, at the very beginning, when the church came together, stood up and said, this is the fulfillment. So that was the beginning of the last days. That's like 2,000 years ago. We are still in the last days. But we clearly are at the end, coming very close to the very end of those 2 days or those 2,000 years, aren't we? We can see it from Scripture and the fulfillment of the prophetic words and what God has said was going to take place. So you could say we live in the last minutes, or I believe we actually probably live in the last seconds of the last days. So I'm going to take you through some scriptures to show the progressive revelation that God has given in his word that shows the importance of living in these last minutes and about the pouring out of his spirit. So what we see is God mentioned it first when he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. You know that Israel were kept in captivity in Egypt. And if you go to Exodus 14 and verse 41, this is the day when God brought the Israelites out of their captivity. It says, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years. On that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It's so interesting to notice on the very day. So here we have, again, God fulfilling what had been prophesied already, that they would be there 430 years. When God says 430 years, it means 430 years on the dot. On the dot, it said, on that very day. So when God has put something in his word, it will surely come to pass exactly as he has said. Exactly. It doesn't come half a day late or half a day early. God's timetable is always perfect. And so he brought his people out on the day. But the glorious thing was, look what it said. It came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. They did not go by themselves. The King James calls it the host of the Lord. So it's like the whole heavenly host goes with his people. And this is so encouraging for us. We are not here on our own. We have the whole host of heaven goes with us. As we go, praise God. God will do exactly what he said he will. And it shows us the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord goes with his people. And what we're going to see in the next scriptures I will show is that scripture talks about rain. It talks about rain. And rain is a symbolic for the pouring out of the Spirit of God. I can clearly show you in these scriptures that the rain is physical rain, but it's also talking about the pouring out of the Spirit of God on God's people. It's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're going to encounter it first in Deuteronomy 11, verses 10 to 12. This is God speaking to the Israelites. For the land you are about to enter and take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you planted your seed and made irrigation ditches with your foot as in a vegetable garden. Rather, the land you will soon take over is a land of hills and valleys with plenty of rain. A land that the Lord your God cares for. He watches over it through each season of the year. The Israelites had come from Egypt. In Egypt, when they were planting the barley or the wheat, whatever they were planting, they were relying on the water from the River Nile. And so they would dig these ditches and they would have some kind of pump, but they would use their feet because of they had to move the water from the river up and get it out so that the water could go out so that they could grow their crops so that they could live. That is what they were used to. That might be what you've been used to. You're working really, really hard. There's a day coming where we are not relying on our own strength, but God will supernaturally do it. This is what he's saying to them. He's saying, the land that you will take over, it will have plenty of rain, a land that the Lord your God cares for. So now he's saying to them, God is going to give them the rain. If you go to verse 13 and 14, we're still in Deuteronomy 11 and verse 13 and 14. If you carefully obey all the commandments I am giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all of your heart and soul, then he will send the rains in the proper season, the early and the late rains, so you can bring in the harvest of grains, new wine, and olive oils. Do you see here how God is going to do it? If they are obedient to the Lord, they're no longer using their foot pumps and bringing the water in themselves. Now God says, you believe in me. You put your trust in me. You obey my commandments. I will give you the rain for your crops. I will do it. I will give the increase. It is always God that gives the increase. This is the promise of the Father. Now, Israel had two seasons of rain. They had what they called the formal rain in late October, November, and then the first rains, which would be the formal rain would be in April. So they would have two rain seasons, not like Scotland, where we've got rainy season almost all the way around, all year round. But this, the rain was so significant for them. Why? Because without any rain, there would be no harvest. Same for us today. If there's no pouring out of the Spirit of God, we will have no harvest. We are talking about now going out evangelizing, organizing this. We've been doing this for some time. Now we are stepping up and structuring it more. But without the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, there will be no harvest. But with the pouring of the Holy Spirit out, there will be a mighty harvest because God will give that increase. And so they have the two rains. They have the rain in October and then they have the rain in April. And each of the rains is for a specific purpose for the crop. And then we go to verse 16 and 17. But be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. If you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you. He will shut up the sky and hold back the rain, and the ground will fail to produce its harvest. Then you will quickly die in the good land the Lord is giving you. There's a warning to them. Because the Lord knew that the people that were living in the promised land, they were worshipping other gods. They were worshipping sun gods. They were worshipping Baal. They were worshipping gods that they believed provided the rain. And God said, no, no. You must only worship me. You must only worship me. Without the rain, there would be no harvest. If you go to verse 18 and 19, this is what the Lord is saying to them. He says, so commit yourself wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as a reminder. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. This is what the Lord is saying. His promises to us. He's saying, keep it. Keep a note of it. Tie it to your hands. Put it on your forehead. Have it on your mind all the time. Whatever you're doing, remember the promises of the Lord. Talk about it when you're out. Talk about it when you're at home. Talk about it when you go to your bed. Talk about it first thing when you get up in the morning. This is how we should be living. With the word of God, the promises of our Father should be on our lips. This should be what we are living for. Every day we are reminding ourselves of the promise of the God. We are making decrees and declarations according to what God has spoken. Because it will surely come to pass as he has said. Teach it to your children. We have to take responsibility what we teach our children. You cannot pass that on to somebody else. As a parent, you are responsible. As a parent, you are accountable before the Lord. And remember, your children don't always do what you say, but they surely watch how you live. They surely watch what you do, how you spend your time, what habits you have. Do you have a habit of speaking about the goodness of the Lord as you go to your bed and as you rise in the morning? If that is what you talk about, that is how your children will grow up to live. They watch you. They watch you. This is the same apply to our spiritual children. You say, oh, I don't have any children. Well, I hope you have spiritual children. Children that you're bringing up and encouraging in the Lord. Write it on your sleeve. Put it on your forehead. It's always on your mind. It's always on your mind. We don't want the mark of the beast. We want the word of the Lord on our mind. Amen. That's what we want. The word of the Lord. So powerful. So powerful. Hallelujah. Then they were instructed by the Lord that they should wait upon God for their rains. Let's jump to Jeremiah 14, verse 22. Can any of the worthless foreign gods send us rain? Does it fall from the sky by itself? No. You are the one, O Lord our God. Only you can do such things. So we will wait for you to help us. Amen to that. We are relying on the Lord for our spiritual rain, aren't we? We are relying on the Lord for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then God says to them, they have to ask for the rain. See how it progresses as we go through Scripture. Zechariah 10, verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain in the spring, for he makes the storm clouds, and he will send showers of rain to every field, becomes a lush pasture. And then we go to the book of Joel, we will actually see the different types of rain. And we will see a clear connection here in this book that when God talks about rain, he's talking about the pouring out of his Holy Spirit. So it was literal for the Israelites, but it's a spiritual meaning for us as the people of God. And you can see it here. We're going to Joel chapter 2, verses starting at verse 23. Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For the rain, notice, the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of spring. The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain. And the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. It was I who sent this great destroying army against you. Here he's talking about God will send the rain. Now let's jump to verse 28 and 29. Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see vision. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. Amen. Amen. Here in this chapter you see how God is talking about rain. And then he goes on to say, I will pour out my spirit. So you can see the direct connection between rain being this a symbol of the pouring out of the Spirit of God. And this is how Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was able to stand up and say, hey, people, hey, this is it. This is it. Because he was talking to Jews, and they would know this prophetic word from Joel chapter 2. And you can read that in Acts 2. Verses 14 through 18. You can read that, how Peter stood up and told them, this is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is what God has promised us. Hallelujah. That was the first outpouring on the day of Pentecost. That was the first outpouring. Now, you study church history. Of course, God has moved all through the centuries in different ways. But there was a significant outpouring in the beginning of the 1900 when the Holy Spirit fell afresh all in different parts of the world. And so when we read, I'm sure you've read a lot about the various outpourings, both in America and other parts of the world. It's been here in the United Kingdom, it's been different parts of Europe. A great, great outpouring. And it's like a progressive God adding on greater and greater revelation of his word. It had been a long, long time where people were not familiar with being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in new tongues, and that came in. And now, of course, it's all over all the various denominations that God has poured out His Spirit in. And what maybe was difficult to pray somebody through to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God just falls on people just like that. Because it's progressive, and the Spirit of God has broken through these barriers for us. And so now that we are living where we are right now on the timetable, there has been a second pouring out of the Holy Spirit, which we have witnessed over the last 100 years or so. But the great exciting thing is that the Bible prophesies that there will be an outpouring of the early rains and the latter rains coming together. And this is the third great awakening. This is the third outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we see in the scripture. And in this Joel's prophecies, it talks about that. If we go back again and look at Joel 2 verse 23, once more, the autumn rains will come, as well as the rains of the spring. As well as. That's what it says in the New Living. In New King James, it says, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. It makes it really, really clear. It's talking about the two rains coming in the same month. But before, you know, one was in October, November, and then the other one is April. Now God is saying, hey, it's all happening at the same time. So what are we expecting? You should be expecting at least to see what happened on the day of Pentecost and what you read in the book of Acts. Because that was the first outpouring. And then all the books and accounts you have read from mighty women and men of God over the last 100 years, you should expect to see at least that. Because the two are coming together. But it's a mega harvest of God. It's a mega harvest of God. In the book of James in the New Testament, James reveals that this great third and final outpouring before the Lord comes, it's going to be just before the Lord returns. James 5, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also, be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now the farmer, the husbandman is called in King James Version, that is talking about God. In all the parables, this is what we see. It's talking about God. And the field is the earth. God planted a seed. His word, Jesus Christ. And he's waiting. And he says, come on now, be patient. Because there's going to be the early and the latter rain together. It will produce the greatest harvest ever. This is what we are expecting, because we are in these last minutes and seconds of the last days. This is worth being excited about. This is what you should have on your forehead. This is what we talk about when we go to bed. This is what we talk about when we rise in the morning. This is what we talk about when we go out and when we come home. This is what we teach our children. Be in expectancy. This is what James is writing to us. He said, be patient. See, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. So before Jesus returns, there will be this last outpouring of the Spirit. And it will include everything you've ever read about. Praise God. Jesus did say, greater things. These are the days of greater things. It's God's timetable. Yes, we don't know exactly how and when. But it's there. His word always comes to pass. We were listening to Tim Sheets And he was prophesying and calling it a mega Pentecost, he calls it. A mega Pentecost. Angelic release of the glory of God, bringing in the greatest harvest. A supernatural breakthrough where the people of God go and possess the land. Because the scripture tells us that Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. A glorious church. As a church, we are likened unto the bride. We are the bride of Christ all together, not individually, but when you put us all together, the body of Christ, we are, the Bible calls us the bride of Christ, the bride. The bride is without spot and wrinkle. The bride is ready. There's, to a woman, there's probably no other day that's as important in your life besides the day you surrender your life to Jesus. But in the natural, the best day of your life or that people look forward to is the wedding day. And so that's what we should be preparing for. Yesterday morning, Melvin and I, we were at a little pastor's breakfast meeting, and just as we were leaving, one of them gave us a word of the Lord. He says, this is what I feel the Lord is saying. This is what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying. He's saying, the idols of men are crumbling. This is a message for Life Center. We were like, yes, yes. The idols of men are crumbling. This is confirmation of what the Lord has been speaking to us over the last few weeks. And it made me think about the account we read in 1 Samuel chapter 5. If you can put that up on the screen. 1 Samuel 5 verses 2 to 3. Remember this story, I'll read it to you. They carried the Ark of God into the temple of Dagon and placed it beside an idol of Dagon. But when the citizens of Ashdod went to see it the next morning, Dagon had fallen with his face to the ground in front of the Ark of the Lord. The Ark of the Lord is the glory of God. It's the presence of God. You cannot bring idols in the vicinity of the glory of God and expect that idol to be standing. It is impossible. The idols of men are crumbling. Why? Because of the presence of God. And then they popped them back up, and then they went in the next day, verse 4. And the next day, the same thing happened. Dagon had fallen face down before the Ark of the Lord again. This time his head and hands had broken off and were lying in the doorway. Only the trunk of his body was left intact. Do you see here how the enemy tries to bring an idol a second time? We've experienced that, haven't we? The enemy tries to bring in idols a second time. But even so more, they will crumble. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. He is not changed. Jesus. The idols are coming down in the name of Jesus. It is not our power. It is the presence of God. Surely God has called us to this place. We are here by supernatural means. We are here to bring God order in Livingston. This is a mandate from heaven. This is why we exist. This should be on your forehead. This should be your speech when you get up in the morning and when you go to bed at night. This should be what you teach your children. This should be what you teach your spiritual children. We have a mandate from heaven to bring God order. We have a mandate. And the power of God crumbles the idols. This is the third witness we have through an independent source that's never even been here, man of God, that just gave us that word, and we are going, whoa! Amen to that. The more idols you put in against the presence of God, the more they crumble. Who can stand before the Lord? Who can stand? He's a holy God. He's a holy God. He's all powerful. He's the creator of the universe. And we a carrier of his presence. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Yes, sometimes there's a whisper, oh, there's not many of you. The Lord spoke to me about that this week. How many does it take to make a church? Would you say if Jesus is present, that that makes it a church? Would you say so? Well, these are the words of Jesus. He said, well, two are free. Two are free. Forget about numbers. Forget about numbers. We were visiting some saints yesterday to pray together. And we ended up talking about house groups and what happened. This is many years ago. And a dear sister, Aida, came to our house group, and how a girl that was deaf saw Jesus in the room. And so we were like, Aida needed healing. And we thought, well, let's move Aida over to where Jesus is. And I remember in my head, I thought, I don't need to do anything. Jesus is here. I'm just holding Aida's hand. I'm just for support, just to steady her, because she had gone through severe trauma. I just held her hands, and the Lord ministered to her. The Lord supernaturally healed her. Right. 2 days later, she was in the hospital getting another brain scan, and the consultant was totally amazed, because that would have taken at least 7 or 8 months to be healed like that. And she was able to say, I went to a house meeting and Jesus was there. He'd done it. Remember?
Come on.
Hey, when Jesus is in the house, it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. Don't look with the natural eyes. Don't look with the natural eyes. This is what the Lord is saying to us. Don't look at the natural eyes. Come on, people. God is with us. God is with us. Isaiah 55 verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. When God gives a word, we have many words. We have the word of God. I've just shared it with you, the greatest outpouring. Don't worry about where in the world you are living. If you're listening in on YouTube, you're listening in on Facebook, it doesn't matter where in the world you are, because this, we're talking about global now. The Spirit of God. That's why we have prophetic words about revival in this country and pouring out Spirit here. And it's covering all these different countries. Think, well, Lord, where are you going to pour out your Spirit? Well, don't you get it? He's going to be pouring it out everywhere. That's why everybody's getting these prophetic words. Yes, because God is big. And it's a mega harvest. So, of course, he has to pour it out everywhere. So it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it may happen at a slightly different time and in different shapes. But it's going to be everywhere, because God always does what he said he will do. He always performs. That's what this says in Isaiah. Habakkuk 2:14. Let's put that up. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Would you say that the waters cover the sea? Have you ever seen any sea that didn't have water in it? Has anybody ever seen any sea that didn't have water in it?
No.
Don't think so. That's how the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, it will cover the earth. Praise God. Praise God. This is the word of the Lord all over the world. I've been remembering back to my childhood in the 70s, and there was a Jesus movement that took place in California, and eventually, this is before internet or anything, but we heard about it, even in the island in the Baltic Sea where I grew up, we heard about it, And there were waves, trickling waves that came, and there were some people that came to visit. They spoke another language than we spoke, but they came. And my father was healed, and my brother got saved. There was a trickling effect all the way from California to Denmark, just from the little Jesus people movement. How much more in this mega harvest? It doesn't matter where God has positioned you in the world, because the waves are going to hit. Now God is moving in such ways that people hook up over the internet and they're healed by listening to a message. People get words of knowledge and they send text messages to their friends. Their friends get it and they are healed in their bodies through text messages. Yes, God can do this. God works in ways, and it's ever increasing. The kingdom of God is ever increasing. We've got such powerful prophetic words for the work that God has called us to here in Livingston and in West London. And we are to be a center of light. Our calling is to host the presence of God. We have a mantle for signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, don't you be questioning it. Because the word of God said, these signs shall follow those that believe. And we are believers. We are believers. Let's not lower our standard. Let's go with the word of God. This is who we are called to be. A resource center for raising up apostolic and the prophetic. And we've got prophetic words that preachers will be raised up from here. And that people will be sent out to the four corners of the world. I believe that. I believe that. Because that's how God works. We are to teach and to equip and to send out. There's a spiritual renewal project that we have an anointing for into the community, the streets, and the households. We are called for extended worship and prayer. You see, the glory of God comes. We must live holy lives. This doesn't just come and we carry on the way we were. We must press in to live in the righteousness of Christ and to put on the righteousness of Christ. That means we change the way we live. We are accountable for our own flesh. We are accountable for our own flesh. So we press in. That's what we read in those scriptures in the Old Testament, that they were to ask God and they were to press into God. We are anointed to birth signs and miracles in impoverished areas. Isn't that glorious? To bring God order. We are anointed as a church to speak royal decrees on this land. And God says, Livingston is His. It's a living town. For the living waters of God. It's a living town. It's not just a new town that was man's creation. It comes, this place comes from the heart of God. Praise God. Be encouraged today. We live in the last days. How easy it is to remember about the falling away, about the difficult days in the last days. But overriding all of that and in parallel to all of that, God is saying a mega harvest, the third great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is upon us. So this is not a time to be feeble. This is a time for us to encourage ourselves in the Lord, to press in for the things of the Lord, to go out for the gospel, to reach the lost. Amen. God bless each one of you.